Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Glory to the Lord. Lord, I thank you. I thank you so much for what you've done for us. I thank you for your precious blood that shatters every work of darkness. You know, there's an interesting scripture. It says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one." And his precious blood is still destroying the works of the evil one. You know, I felt like when we come, we come because we love the Lord, but sometimes we come with weariness or, you know, tiredness, attack, thoughts, worries, fears. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every worry, fear, tiredness. I see road weariness. I see a faithful warrior, a faithful soldier. You keep plugging away because it's the right thing to do, but you've been at this a long time, and your road has not always been easy. And so right now, I break off the effects of your travels in God. Because sometimes we just need to sit down with the Lord and be refreshed. And so right now I just cut that off. And I just feel like I want to break some stuff off. And this is something I do for myself regularly. If I'm not like right at the core of being able to fellowship with him in fullness, then something's not right. And so sometimes that's not necessarily something I've done wrong. Sometimes it's attack. It's the cares of the day, right? We go through stuff. We have to, you know, we all are busy. We have a million things to do. It can be all those things, thoughts. And so right now I just declare over every person here, no weapon formed against you can prosper or succeed. And every tongue that rises up against you, I condemn. That's the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Our righteousness, it's from him. So we don't get to declare this because we have righteousness. Our righteousness is from him. So 24/7, whether you know it or not, he has called you righteous. And so, and if your heart, you know how God judges us? He judges us on our heart. Sometimes we judge ourselves so harshly. When we were in praise and worship, I heard self-measuring. And you know, when you love God with all your heart, you can fall into a trap of constantly measuring yourself. And I did it for years, measuring, you know, did I do enough? Did I do it right? Constantly measuring and then either accepting or rejecting. And that can be a trap to keep us from feeling as though we could step right into his presence. Because he actually purchased with his blood an open door that no man can shut. He purchased it in blood. It's a blood covenant. And a blood covenant can never be broken. In fact, if you look at the way he cut the covenant with Abraham, he put Abraham in a deep sleep. Abraham didn't agree. He was asleep. He was in a, actually the word is more like a trance. He was in a deep state in the spirit. And the Lord himself cut the covenant. And a lot of people don't understand this, but it doesn't make sense to, in our modern language, why would they cut animals in half? That's disgusting to us, you know, and then walk between them. But the idea of covenant was that the person making the covenant said, may it be to me as it is to these animals if I don't keep my word. And he on purpose put Abraham in a trance because he knew we would never be able to fully keep the covenant. You know, we're human. We're and in a fallen state. Thank you, Adam and Eve. Right? But because we're in a fallen state, there's going to be times we don't do right or we don't do enough. And this constant measuring can be somewhat defeating when our purpose is to be like a little kid in his presence and be accepted of him. We're accepted in the beloved, the Bible says. And so I've gone around and around this barn in my life, always wanting to make, because I do love the Lord and I want to make sure I'm right before him. You know, I do have a fear of the Lord and I can't bear the idea that I would come before him one day and him not be happy And so this measuring thing was a big problem for me, right? And so I feel like he wants us to know that while we are working on our whatevers, he has already judged us righteous. And how he judges us mostly in the new covenant is by our heart. And this is why it can be confusing for people. If a person's heart is, Jesus, all I want is you. You're my Lord. You're my Lord in every area, and all I want is to be with you. I want to serve you, and I want to do the best I can. That heart is perfect in the eyes of the Lord. So then we may have another person who Jesus is not really their Lord. They may have said the prayer at the altar. They may kind of sort of meant it, but Jesus is not really their Lord. He's not really the center of their life. That person is like the other five virgins. Okay, remember there's 10 virgins. And five of them keep their lamps continually filled with oil, and the other five don't. And remember that when the other five come to the door, it's shut. It's shut. And this is about the heart condition. And what God has taught me for years and years and years, and he has to keep going over it with me because I still go around this barn once in a while, you know. I still question, you know, did I do enough? Did I get it right, Lord? Did I do what you wanted? And I'm very hard on myself. I'm much harder on myself than I am on other people. I don't expect the same things of other people, but I surely do of me. And sometimes, you know, Paul said an interesting thing. He said, I don't even judge myself. Paul said he did not judge himself. Isn't that interesting? And so the idea of this is we could have two people, and I've seen this over and over, and they are doing the same thing, but one is justified and one is not justified, and it's because of the heart. A person who has a perfect heart but has still got a problem and they're saying, oh, Jesus, please deliver me. I do not want to do this. I do not want to have this addiction, or I'm trying to do better and I'm, oh, Lord, I'm such a screw up. I mean, I have said that to the Lord a million times, you know, but he's like, yeah, but you're my screw up. You know, you're mine. He asked me to do a thing not long ago and I felt like completely unable to do it, which is pretty common. And I said, you know, I'm not questioning your ability, but I feel like I don't have the ability. He said, of course you don't, right? Because that's the kind of people he loves to work with. He doesn't want our ability, because then the truth of the matter is we don't have a lot. And so one of the things that has helped me so much when I want to come before the Lord, it really helps to know the word a little bit. Did you know that he said, I will never leave you? His presence, you know, we get so caught up in feelings in the charismatic church. We're very much into, did I feel his presence? And don't get me wrong, I'm one of those. I love his presence. We had a night in Colorado that I think all of us could agree. I don't know about you guys. I've never been there before. It was like he took the whole room of us and stepped us outside of time to a place that I had never encountered. And nobody, it was so, so holy. You had when that happens, you have to be so careful because you don't want to mess it up. You don't want to touch it. And I loved that everyone there just stayed in like nobody talked. Nobody got in the flesh. We sat in the presence. I don't know. I don't know about the rest of you. I was there in that like an hour just sitting in the presence. And I would hear people quietly get up and leave. No one talked. And you could tell the feeling was people just wanted to go, don't talk to me. I'm going to my room. Don't follow me. Don't ask me. I just want to go be alone with God, because it was so steeped in his presence. And so I say that to say I love the presence, and I love when the presence is so strong that everybody knows it. However, what I want you to know is whether you feel it or not, that same presence is always with you. Always. He will never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, he can't, because he's filled you with himself. So you are the temple of the living God. So yes, even if you mess up, even if you make a mistake, even if you get aggravated, even if you say the wrong thing, even if you have an argument with your spouse, even if you do what is wrong, I'm not saying do those things, I'm not even saying justify those things. What I'm saying is he has not left. And you, what we have to do is come back out of whatever that was and into him. And for me, I can't live well without an open communion with God. I'm just one of those people. I'm wholly dependent on him. I really am. I can't do life without God. I don't have the ability, and I don't want to. And so for me, the most important thing, the single most important thing, is an open communion that never closes. But like everybody else, I have a busy schedule. I have stuff I have to do, and there are some days when I don't get to have as much time with him as I want. And so your flesh, by nature, our flesh nature, starts to pay attention to what we have to do, right? Whatever we focus on, that becomes what we're paying attention to, right? And everybody goes through seasons of having to do. Let's just talk about tax season for a minute, right? Especially if you didn't do them on time, you know, you're right up to the wire. Your focus is going to be, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this, right? And so there are seasons like that. Does God love you less? No. Has his presence lifted? No, not at all. What's happened is our focus shifted off of him and onto something else for a while, and that's quite normal. That's quite normal for everybody, right? So for me, there's kind of a way of going through life of stepping back into him. And one of the things I do is, I do a number of things, but one of the things I do is break off any external influence. I have my mind come back into focus. Because where we focus, that's what we get. It's kind of like that song. What you focus on, that's what you get. And so if we go too long, it's not a law. We're not under the law anymore. And, you know, it says all things are lawful to me, but not all things are edifying. Well, it's lawful for me not to have a time of devotions every morning. I have one because I've learned over the years that I need one, right? I've learned that for me to walk in what I want to walk in, I have to spend time with the King. Not an option for me, but that's the level I want to walk at. I want to walk it where there's always an open window, there's always an open door, where I don't ever feel separated from him, even though I know by faith I'm never separated from him. Can you kind of hear where I'm going here?
Yeah.
So when I was learning to have conversations with the Lord, I was learning to hear the Holy Spirit. I would take these long walks with him, and he would just ask a question. And of course, when God asks a question, it's not because he needs the answer. It's he's trying to position you to learn from him. And so I would take these long walks with him, and he might ask a question. That's what I call open communion. And then maybe he would explain something to me. And he would use the word to do it. He would use scripture and scripture and scripture. And suddenly I would understand scriptures that I didn't understand before. I would read them, even study them. But the real revelation would often come after I had closed the Bible and just sat in a chair with him or sat and prayed in the Spirit or gone on a long walk. Because now he's opening it by the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, which is the Holy Spirit. And one of his jobs is to enlighten the word to us. It's to speak the word to us in terms we can say, oh, that's what it means. Oh, now I get it. And so that word rhema is a really big deal. In the New Testament, I know I've probably said this before, but for years I would hear preachers say, you know, faith comes by hearing the word of God. And it's like, that is not what it says. It says faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the rhema of God. And rhema, I'm sure most of you know this, but rhema is an utterance. And quite often it can be that the written word of God became life to you, right? Do you ever have a scripture come alive? And all the scriptures around it, not as much, but that one scripture is suddenly, boom, it's alive to you and you have a revelation. Well, that happened because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, shone a light on that for a moment. And quite often for me, it's not when I happen to be staring at that scripture. It may be a scripture that's lodged in my memory from, you know, a month ago. And so for me to walk in this place, I find great victory when I can walk daily in the favor of God. You all do, but you don't always know it. And so when you aren't walking in it, I hope I'm saying this well. When you aren't walking in it, you will feel like you're separated from him or you've done wrong. You may even feel like he's mad at you. Because why? Because there's an enemy who really wants more than anything in the world to stop you from an open communion. Satan doesn't care so much. We think he cares about if we go sin. You know why he wants you to sin? So he has a stick to beat you with and say, God doesn't want you in his presence. God doesn't want you in the Holy of Holies. Look at you, you said the wrong thing. Look at you, you got out of faith. Look at you, you said negative stuff. Look at you, you had a fight with somebody or whatever. His entire purpose in life is to stop the children of God from going in to that open communion with the Father, because he knows if you get there, it's over for him. He has no hold on you. He has no hold on you. So he has little tricks he uses. He'll use people's words. He'll use your words. Be very careful about when you're talking about your emotions. You know, if you're saying something because your emotions can spiral based on what you said. I mean, it's true. I'm sure I've shared this, but back when the whole COVID thing happened, and we couldn't really go anywhere public for, like, I don't know how long it was. And I got to tell you the truth, the last thing I wanted to do was sit in front of a camera and do Facebook Live. I just have to tell you, I am not a camera person. I have hated cameras my whole life. I'm talking about hated cameras. So here's me, I have to do it. Well, after about 5 or 6 weeks of that, suddenly the doors opened. I don't know how long it was, but we got to come and have a meeting again. Guess who did not want to come to have a meeting? I mean, I never wanted to come to a meeting again. I thought, well, I can just sit here and do the thing in the living room. Why do I got to go do that? I didn't want to do it. And I said, God, what is wrong with me? I've always liked meetings. I mean, it wasn't like I just didn't want to go. Or I didn't want to go. I was like, you know, my feet are on the door. My hands are on the door. I'm not going. And I said, Lord, what's the matter with me? I've always loved meetings. He said, you word cursed yourself. And I quickly remembered that I had been, you know how you kind of mutter your thoughts sometimes? Under my breath, I'd been saying, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. Well, guess who heard that? My emotions. And their emotions are like, yes, sir, I don't want to do that anymore. So when it came time to do it, all my emotions are like, we don't want to do that anymore. We're not doing that. Sometimes our own emotions are doing what we told them to do. Wow. It's called word cursing yourself. Sometimes other people's words have an effect. Now, this is shocking. At one time I wouldn't have believed how strong this is. But the power of words, it is really true. Proverbs, I believe it's 18:35, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. I've seen that people's words can have an impact on your life. It's true. Why is that? Because angels and devils use words to carry out their mission. It's true, they use the word, but they also use the words of humans. So the enemy's looking for words he can use because he doesn't listen. He doesn't have authority. Remember, Jesus stripped him of all authority over you. So how does he have authority to beat you up? Or how does he have authority to do things to you? How can he get authority? He hangs on somebody's words. Sometimes yours. So if you're continually speaking badly about your finances, don't expect your finances to change. If you're speaking bad over your kid, I'll tell you a good one. Robert Henderson talks about this. His son was depressed and suicidal, and his son was a minister. I believe he was a youth pastor, and he'd been vitally used of God, and he was a married man. And his wife left him, and he fell into a terrible depression. Didn't want to minister, didn't want to go on. And Robert said, I prayed, I commanded, I fasted, I did every, you know, I bound, I loosed, you know, I did all this stuff. And one night I was sitting with the Father, and the Father said to me, you need to deal with the words you spoke about your son. And he said, but Father, I'm so careful to only speak positive things to him and uplifting things and encouraging things to him. And God said to him, I'm not talking about those words. I'm talking about the words you say to your wife about him when you're alone with her. And he was cut to the heart because he'd been saying things like, why can't he just get it together? What's wrong with him? You know, he was saying negative things. So he repented, right? And you can actually, if you've made mistakes, and we all do, listen, what? The tongue is like a fire, right? It's unruly. Who can tame it? Right. Who can tame the tongue? So there are times when something will come out, you didn't mean it to, but it did. But there is a more powerful substance, and that's the blood of Jesus. Amen. And so I found great victory by going before the Lord and saying, I am so sorry. I've said some things that were not according to your word. I ask you to pour the blood of Jesus on those words and render them null, void, powerless, and ineffective. And there's an almost instant shift. So here's the end of the story. He repented of what he said. He put it under the blood, but then he proclaimed over his son. I don't know what exactly he said, but prophetically he began to speak about his son's destiny and ministry. He began to speak the good thing. Now, that was on a Tuesday night. A week later, the son called him and said, I don't know what happened, but last Tuesday night, that whole thing was just gone. I'm free. That was just gone. It was because Robert went into heaven and dealt with that thing in the way it needed to be dealt with. How many things are we dealing with that have a key and we're waiting for God to fix it, but there's a legal problem? And so, you know, I think I was guilty for years of just thinking, well, God should just fix it. You know, come on, God, you said, you got this promise. Here's your promise. Just come and do it. Because here's the way I thought. Well, if I told you, Kim, I'm coming to your house on Sunday. I am bringing Chinese food. You would expect me to do that. And I would think, I said I would do that. I'm going to do that. In fact, we have way too many people saying stuff in the body of Christ and not doing it. Ooh, I'm not going to start that sermon, but we have a lot of people who, you know, let your yes be yes. If you're not going to do it, don't say it. But my thought was, if God said it, he should just do it. But what I didn't realize was there's a layer of things going on between heaven and earth. For one thing, God has given the earth to the children of men, according to Psalm 115. He gave the authority over the earth to the children of men. The Bible says he put all things under our feet. So there are some things we are supposed to be ruling and reigning over. And how do we rule and reign? With our mouth. And so there's things that are being allowed in the earth that really we should be changing. And that's why prayer is such a big deal. Why do we have to pray so much? Why do we have to confess good things? Why do we have to speak the good thing? Because it's a legal requirement, because God wants it to happen, it is his will. Why would Jesus tell us to pray continually, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Because he's looking for somebody to speak it into the earth. I don't even want to get into the whole witchcraft thing, but I'll tell you, I learned a lot about this when we started finding ourselves under a really strange attack and found out that there was a witch coven that didn't like us. And they were speaking destruction. And I'll tell you something, I learned they knew more about words than we did. Yeah. That's a sad state of affairs. But they were more experienced in sending. I'm sorry to tell you the truth, but this is the truth. I never wanted to talk about this because I thought people would think I'm just weird. But you might as well know, witchcraft is probably the fastest growing religion in this country right now. What are you going to do if you're still sitting there saying it's not true, that doesn't work? Well, I have news for you. We had, what year was that? 2-3 years ago, out at the retreat, my lightning fast mind realized something's more than wrong because so many people were taking these horrific falls. you know, one person, two people, three people, four. After about four, you start going, something seems a little suspect here, right? I was in one of the hot springs in Colorado. They have these wonderful hot springs, and there's one that's entirely caves. It's solid rock below you, on the side of you, and above you. Solid rock. And I came walking back from one of the springs, and my feet went like this. I'm midair, boom, on solid rock. Not long after that, Kim went sailing, flying down the stairs. Susie Moon took a fall. I don't remember how many others, but I'm going to tell you, something went, you know what, I think there's something going on. Well, there was. What we didn't know was there was a group in a town that we go to. And see, when we first started going to this town, this is so interesting, people would say, we don't have anything like this here. There's nothing spirit-filled here. Well, we've been going for years and years and years, and now you can hold church in that town. And we would come in and bring the presence, and boy, howdy, now there's all this other stuff going on. It's not just us. There's all this wonderful ministry going on in the spirit. And these guys are a coven right downtown, and they didn't like us. And I'm going to tell you, you better learn about warfare. I wasn't going to talk about this. But I said all that to say, if they know how to use words to employ demons, why do we not know how to use words to employ angels? And why do we not know how to take authority over their words? See, once I figured out what it was not so hard. Once I figured out what it was, okay, now we can go to town. I know what I'm dealing with now. Otherwise, you're beating the air, like Paul said. You're praying, but you're just beating the air because you don't know what you're fighting. What are you fighting? See, in some churches, I would just say, well, it must be God's will. You know, it's up to God. No. He gave the earth to us. There is a war on. There's good guys and there's bad guys. The kingdom of heaven allows violence, and the violent take it by force. That's a scripture. And so we have to become more shrewd about what we allow. So let's go back to daily living for a minute. For me, I want to live to where I always have this open heaven, okay? And that is for everyone. You actually have one. We don't have to beg God for an open heaven. God has already torn heaven open. He tore it open. His Holy Spirit came through and filled the church. And you have the right as a blood-washed believer to receive that same infilling, to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And continually be being filled, right? You have been given an open door to heaven. Jesus tore that veil. No one can ever put it back together again. That's forever. That veil has been torn forever. That means any time of the day or night that you just say, Father, whoosh, Jesus, whoosh, you have an open access to the King of Kings, and his ear is towards you. This is amazing stuff. So part of it is we have to believe what the word says about it, because Satan will come and say, well, that's not really true. You know, you kind of screwed up yesterday. Well, who didn't? You know, come on. Because even as you get, listen, I've been through years of really working on getting more and more delivered, more and more free, where I don't have any of the habits I used to have. I've gotten more and more, but am I there yet? No. Do I still have a moment where I want to slap somebody? Yes. Yeah, sure. Does that separate me from him? No, because now I know better. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. So we have to learn to overcome the lies of the enemy with the truth of the Word of God. And when the enemy says to you, God doesn't want you around, you know, you're a screw-up, or you've gone too far this time. No, you don't, just like Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus did not have a panel discussion. Here, Satan, let's talk about this. Nope. He just stuck the Bible in his face. It is written. It is written. It is written. And if we would do that, Satan has no recourse. He has no recourse over the Word of God. He has no recourse over the blood of Jesus. None. He's helpless. He's been stripped completely clean. He's got nothing. Now he'll push you to see if you really believe what you just said. See, the first fight is always the hardest. I'm telling you, I hate to say this, but this is good preaching right here. The first fight is the hardest, because when you first get a hold of your authority, there will be a war where you're saying, no, Satan, you can't do this. You can't do that. I'm cutting you off. No. He'll say, really? And he'll try to push back to see if you really believe what you have said. Because his only hope is deception. His only hope is to get you to believe something other than what the Word has promised. That's his hope. If he can get you off of believing what the Word has promised, he's got you. Right? So if he can, here's what happens. I'll just give you an example. Somebody who's, I remember when I was fighting for a healing, I was trying to get healed. Didn't seem like I was winning. I wasn't doing very well. But I knew the stuff, right? I was in a faith church and I knew how to, you know, quote the scriptures. And I was quoting my scriptures and praying and commanding and doing all this stuff. And I wasn't getting anywhere. Well, you know what he does? He goes, well, you know, if you were going to be healed, you'd have been healed by now. Liar. Right? Because what has to happen? There has to be a divine connection of faith. So the fight is not, your fight is not with God to get him to heal you. Your fight is not with the enemy, really even. For me, the fight is to position myself where I'm in a place with faith and an open heaven. Because in that place, all things are yours and you are Christ's and Christ is God. That's a scripture too. You understand? So the fight, for me, I've learned, it's so easy if I will just keep, you know, every day, I just keep coming back to center, keep coming back to center, keep coming back to center. Did I get a little distracted because I had a whole bunch of stuff to do? Yeah, come back to center. And don't allow the lying devil of condemnation or, oh, you're separated from God, or, oh, you know, he thinks, listen, that's his job. He's such a bore. You know, get some new lines, will you? But he uses it, and he uses it on all of us because it has worked for centuries. If he can get us to believe his lie, what he just did, he can't take your salvation, but what he does is buy time. Sometimes he can steal years from you through one deception. One deception. And that deception causes a rift between you and God. Not on God's side. Never on God's side. But it causes a rift in your heart. And around the barn you'll go and go and go and go and go and go until you come to the truth. And then immediately you're back in the throne room. Immediately. When you got a hold of the truth. So why not just get a hold of the truth right away? We do not have to go through trials as long as we do. My first trial was years because I was so ignorant of these things. I was really ignorant. I was believing a whole lot of lies. And because of it, I was so stuck. But when I began to really press into the truth, see, why do you think he says he desires truth in the inmost part? Why do you think he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth makes you free? Because once you have it, no devil can take that from you. No devil can depress you if you refuse his lie. Depression is believing a lie. Oh, come on. I was depressed for 4 years. I'm an expert. Depression is a lie. It can be a number of them. But one of the lies that I believed was there is no way out of this. Even God, there, I could see no way out. I was in a situation so bad and so complicated, I couldn't even see a way God could make it right. There was just no way to make it right. And therefore, the other lie was, then I'll never be able to fulfill my calling because I already knew my calling. And for me, that was depressing because that's the only reason I'm here, thank you. That was why I was here. That was the passion of my life, and I couldn't get to it or make it happen, and I was in an impossible situation. And believed that, and because I believed that, I was depressed. And so when God started to challenge me, and he wasn't really all that nice about it, you know. You know, God loves you, so sometimes he has to give you a little slap. It's because he loves you, because he doesn't want you eating swamp mud for the rest of your life. So sometimes he'll give you a little loving smack to correct you, to make you think differently. Because if we don't think differently, if you're walking around in, you know, Pilgrim's Progress, I think they called it the Slough of Despond. And people can get stuck in the mud. You ever go into, you know, I grew up on a kind of a farm where they had this old pond, and you never wanted to stir up that water, you know, because there was muck. it wasn't even mud. It was like, it was in a county called Clay County for good reason, okay? Like clay mud. And if you stirred that mud, it stank, okay? And the cows would go in there to drink this icky water, you know, and it's a wonder they didn't get stuck because it was it was so clay. Well, there's people that live in that slough of despond, and they get stuck in it because they're believing lies. And I was waiting for God to come and rescue me. And God kind of let me know one day, thank you, Jesus, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. You know why? I already did it. I already came and purchased for you everything you will ever need. You can believe it or not. You want to stay there? You can stay there. He was much nicer than that, okay? But that was the gist of what he was telling me. If you want to stay there for another 8 years, hallelujah, I'll let you. But if you want to come out, I'll let you. And all you have to do is choose to believe what I have said in my word. And I knew that I wasn't. I knew that I wasn't. I was whiny. I had self-pity. Self-pity is one of the worst demons out there because it causes you to go inward and be stuck. Poor me, poor me. And you call somebody wanting, you know, their sympathy, but that will never fix it. That'll never fix it. Self-pity is a way to stay where you are. No thanks, I did it too long. And when God really kind of shook me up, I realized, I'm not staying here. Hold on. He is telling me that I haven't been walking in the truth, even though I knew the word pretty well. I have pretty good memory. I have pretty good grasp of the word of God. I was a person of prayer. I was living at the church. It wasn't like I wasn't doing right things that looked outwardly right, and yet I was failing because I didn't get the concept that I had to actually believe what it said and base my life on it. I said I had to actually believe what the word of God said and base my life and my actions on it. And when I started to do that, that muck could no longer hold my feet. And it is really true, that scripture, he took my feet out of the miry clay and set me on a solid rock. The miry clay is the lies that we have believed, that Satan has told us. It's always going to be this way. It's never going to change. Look how bad it is. That's pretty common for all of us. We've all been through that. But God has a set of truths. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for the Bible. Because it's basically saying to us, you don't have to live like the rest of the world lives. But it takes faith to believe this. It takes faith to believe that I'm higher. My word is higher. My son is higher. His blood is higher. I've elevated you to another realm. You are seated in heavenly places, but you get to pick where you want to live. And the problem is, we are so used to what we see with these eyes, hear with these ears, that we are earthly minded. And that's quite normal, right? What else would we be? We grew up on planet Earth. We have Earth screaming at us 24/7, right? Circumstances, situations, finances, whatever, yelling at us all the time. This is the way it is. This is the way it is. This is the way it is. No, guess what? It's not. At least not in heaven. So we're actually overriding. We're not saying it's not true in the earth. We're not denying the reality of a situation. What we're saying is the truth is God has a higher situation that he wants to release into the earth through you, through me, through our words, through our authority. And here's the thing where it says stand on the word. I used to make me so mad. I would go to the church for help and they were all faith people and they'd be like, well, stand on the word, sister. I didn't even know how. I didn't even know what that meant. But what it meant was get a hold of the scriptures and believe them. And no matter what Satan does and no matter how long he does it, you say, no, it is written, it is written, it is written. Because he'll get tired of that and go away. But you have to make sure. See, I think one of the things we do, we get discouraged very fast. Especially when we're younger in the Lord, we expect, you know, our prayer to be answered. You know, I prayed this. I felt like I was in faith. Have you ever prayed something and you felt like you were in faith? And it didn't happen. Lo and behold, it didn't happen. Well, does that mean it's not going to? No, something is in process. If you have a promise from God, in the Word of God, it is the case. It is the truth. Somebody has to bring it from there to here. Now, I don't want to oversimplify it, but I will tell you this. Sometimes you have to keep standing on the Word, sister. You know, like they were telling me, but I didn't know how. I didn't know what that meant. So I felt like I prayed, you didn't do it. You're my best friend. God was my best friend. What gives? I couldn't understand why there was such a long, long, long delay. And there were a number of factors, but I'll tell you what, in the end, God flipped the whole thing, the entire thing, and turned it to his victory. And see, in it, what Satan wanted, he wanted me to quit. He wanted me to do myself in, tempted me with suicide because, hey, there's no hope. You're never going to fulfill your mission. Might as well just go home. At least you'll be with God. See, you see how he works? And what he was trying to do was cut short what God wanted to do. But the Holy Spirit outsmarted him. The Holy Spirit would just give me one hope, one dream, one scripture, one vision every single day, one thing that made me go, yeah, I know you told me that. I know you told me that. Makes no sense, but I know you told me that. Everything on earth screamed, no, that can never happen, ever. Impossible. But he would give me one more thing. And I'm going to tell you something. If the Holy Spirit is giving you something, if the Word of God is giving you a scripture, if the Holy Spirit is quickening a scripture or giving you a dream or giving you a promise, you hold fast to that thing. And every time the enemy comes around and says it isn't true, you say it is written and shove it in his face. Because God will do what he has said he will do. Amen. Sometimes, I don't know why, sometimes there is a delay. And for me, it's usually because... This is just me, okay? It's usually been because there was something God was trying to help me see, right? Sometimes there was something he was doing in me, a work he was doing in me. It was something he was trying to help me see, and when I saw it, it was like, oh, promotion. Come on, we are our own worst enemy. I think I can be honest. I've made a huge number of mistakes, and here's what I learned. A lot of trials really aren't trials. They're opportunities for me to see... something that I need to deal with in me, right? Yeah. And so one of my first, when I see a trial, if I see a trial coming down the road, I immediately say, what are you trying to show me, Lord? Help me get what you're trying to get me to correct. Do I have anything that you're trying to deal with? Is there something I'm not seeing? And often, if we can get a hold of that, see, because who asked him to change us? We did. Did we not... You may not be like me, but me, I was like, oh, change me, Jesus. I want to be like you. I don't care what you have to do, famous last words. I actually said I wanted to be used to do something for Jesus, and I was unusable, and I knew it. I said, I will do anything if you could use me to win souls or to disciple people. And I said these words. I said, I would die on any cross. Well, God hears those words. God heard those words. And so he designed a very lovely cross for Holly to die on. And it was one of the most important processes I ever went through. Was it fun? No, it was unthinkable. But what he did was help me crucify the stuff that could have never carried what he wanted to carry. What are you called to? What are you called to carry? Have we not seen ministers who are anointed but haven't crucified themselves? I'm not trying to be mean to anybody and I'm not judging anybody, but have we not seen over and over and over ministers who kept a double life because they wouldn't deal with their stuff? And yet they carried the name of the Lord and then brought it down, brought reproach on the name of Christ. Billy Graham said in the book, I believe it was the last book he wrote, when he was quite old, he said he always lived in fear. He said, the one thing I never wanted to do was do anything that would bring reproach on the name of Jesus. And have we not seen it again and again and again? Because people would not die on their own cross. For me, that meant... I had to die to emotionalism. I was ridiculously emotional about everything. I had to die to thinking it was about me. It ain't. I had to die to feeling like it was important to be used of God. I had to trade that in. Crucifixion isn't just dying, you're trading it in on resurrection power. You understand? You're not just dying. You can't have resurrection power unless you die to certain things. Oh, this is so popular. See, we want Jesus glorified. We want, do we not want the kind of activity that they had in the book of Acts? Do we not want to see again the church operating the way it once did? We cannot do it in our current state. I know that's big news. We cannot do it in our current state. And standing and just saying, oh God, anoint me. Oh God, I'm going to fast and pray, anoint me. You know what? To some extent that might work, but at some point he's going to say, are you willing to get rid of rage? Are you willing to get rid of lust? Are you willing to begin to die to what you wanted and live for what I wanted? Okay? Because resurrection power comes through. You might think, well, that's not scriptural. Well, wasn't it Jesus who said, if any man would follow me, let him take up his cross and follow me? If any man would be my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow me. What is a cross? It is a torture device, right? Bible's very clear that there are some things that we can't carry into glory. And it makes it clear, you know, in Timothy, take a look at it. It talks about people who build with wood, hay, and stubble. And it says they'll be saved, but so as by fire. Because they built a work for God, and it's like the three little pigs, the house of straw. But it burns on the way through. You're saved, but so as by fire. No, thank you. No, thank you. It says if we would build with gold and silver, no, what happens there? That stands for eternity. It talks about vessels of dishonor and vessels of honor. But if you look close at it, it says, if a man will purge himself, he becomes a vessel of honor. If a man will purge himself, if we will get rid of our junk. Now, we're not doing it because we're under the law, and we're not doing it because God will love us better. God loves us. There's nothing you can do that will make God love you more. He loves you as much as he'll ever love you. He loves you. There's nothing you can do to make you love him love you less. That's a fact. He loves you. He loves you because you're his kid. But a lot of us have asked God to carry greater things, to do greater things, because we love him and we want his name. We want his kingdom built. We want his name glorified. And he says, okay, Holly, then will you let go of that dream you had? That was your obsession? Yes, sir. I'll let that go. I'll never do that. That'll never be part of my life. How about this? Will you let go of this? Yes, sir. How about that? Ouch. Yes, sir. Ow. Yes. I'm not saying it's easy, but I am saying it's worth it, because with everything we let go of, see, you know what we do? We justify our sin. I didn't know we were going here. And I would apologize, except I can't because I think it's him. If we justify those little things and smooth them over, well, that's just my personality. Uh-oh. That's just the way I am. You know, that's just the way my family always communicated. You know what? At some point, God will keep warning you, and he'll work with you. But if you refuse, that thing will blow up in your face, and you'll wish you would have dealt with the thing. Okay? It's true. So it's, you know, God used to say this to me. He said, now, we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. And I would think, easy. I will repent, and I will, if I need to fast and pray until that propensity is gone, or we might say, that stronghold, come on. I will fast and pray until that thing is gone. Because a lot of the stuff that you think is just your personality is a stronghold. And how you know a stronghold is your behavior. You're going along, minding your own business, you seem like a normally nice person, and then out of the blue, rare, you know, you behave in a way that is ungodly. That's usually a stronghold. And God wants you free so that you can have, because that whole thing is the devil's system, right? Now you're playing into the devil's hand, you're getting beat up by him, you're having that whole fight of trying to be close to God. Listen, being free from that stuff is so much easier. Life is so much easier. Because God, listen, following God is a lifetime of continual promotion when you continue to seek him and be changed, seek him and be changed, seek him and be changed. It's not just seek him. I think I'm going to be brutally honest here. I'm very hard on myself because I came from a background of praying about 3 hours a day in tongues. Okay? I came from a background of fasting one half of every day, and it was long before you ever heard of IF, intermittent fasting. And that was my life, and I lived that way. And I was walking in so much juice. I was walking in so much power. And then this catastrophe happened in my life, and I made a huge mistake. I did not sin, but my focus went off of fasting and praying and seeking him onto the problem. And so I got away from praying at that. I was still praying a lot. But my focus was off. And I got away from moving strongly in the gifts, I got away from moving in all the stuff I was moving in. And so years later, God healed me, it took some years. But, you know, I had to walk back. Elizabeth Pruitt was a great lady of God, and she had moved in real power, and she had her kids, and she got distracted with the busyness of having kids, which was fine, but she didn't go to church, she didn't take her kids, she didn't raise her kids in the church. And God was not happy about that. So one day, you know, the kids are grown, she decides she's going to come back to God and be a great preacher. She was a great, really powerful preacher, moved in all kinds of signs and wonders. She came back to the Lord, and he said, "You walked away, walk back." And you know, I remembered that story. And so for me, it has been a continual, I want to do more. It's not to earn more. It's not to have his favor more. I already have that. It's to position myself at the foot of the throne. If that takes more prayer, I'll pray more. If that takes fasting, I'll fast more. Because I want something for the body of Christ to manifest in this day that if we don't change the way we are doing Christianity, it isn't going to happen. And we're in a day now where we are right at the, I want to say vortex, I don't know if that's the right word, we're right at this crossroad, we're right here, that if ever there was a time where the body of Christ can say, okay, I'm done with living my Christian life that way, which is for me, and it's all about me getting my needs met, and it's all about, you know, going through the motions, and I'm going to come into a place of seeking God to bring the kingdom on this earth, and first and foremost in my life, in my house, and then in, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, and to all the ends of the earth, right? In me first, then in my marriage, in my house, and then outwardly to wherever I'm called. If that doesn't capture us, I think we're in real trouble in this day. Not with God, but we're not going to be able to overcome. Yeah. We're not going to be able to overcome the things that the enemy is going to be able to throw in this day. I don't know if you've noticed, times have shifted. Have they not? And so I believe God is offering us, and not with condemnation, not with anger, but calling us and offering us this entirely high level to walk in him with an open heaven, in an open heaven, which is yours, it belongs to you. But seek his face while he may be found. Seek his face while he may be found. Amen?
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.